Hi, I'm Sasha Deville Piskell, and I'm here at the Edinburgh International Book Festival with Book Talk and Neil Gaiman to talk about his new novel, The Ocean at the End of the Lane, and a few other things too, if we have time. So, Neil, throughout your career, you've written almost every kind of thing that can be written, from comic books to novels, from poetry to picture books, children's books, and even Doctor Who. Where does The Ocean at the End of the Lane fit within your wider work? What can readers expect?
I think it's probably an adult book. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. It has some magic and some weirdness in it, yeah. And I've had teenagers and older kids tell me mm-hmm. that they loved it, which is nice, but in my head it's absolutely an adult novel. Yeah. It's a prose book. It's a mm-hmm. proper novel, although not the shortest book I've ever written. Not the longest book I've ever written either. It's not long. It's very much a TARDIS.
It
unpacks the further into it you go. Yeah.
That's a really beautiful description, actually, because I have read the book. And at first I was like, why is it over? No! But then we reviewed it for the podcast, which will be out at the end of September. And by talking about it and just spending an hour discussing it, by the end of it, we were all like, no, we like it. We like it the way it is, and it's really good. And there's so much more going on than you think initially. And so I definitely would agree with you.
It is the only book of mine where if people say, complain it's too short, I suggest they read it again, because it won't be the same book they read the first time.
One of the things I loved most about the book was the idea that your memories of an event, as unwieldy or unreliable as they might be, can actually be like a truer experience than what actually took place, and that the line between that. Can you talk a bit about that idea?
Well, I think one of the things the book wound up being about was memory, mm-hmm. The unreliability of memory, but the fact that that's all you've got.
Yeah.
And also, to what extent do your memories make you you? You know, there's a moment in the book where our narrator is actually offered the choice to not remember something horrible that's happened to him. And he decides that he would rather remember it having happened because without it's something that makes him him. It happened to him, and if that was taken away, he would be less him than he was.
Yeah.
It's a very odd book because it allowed me, by having a sort of 7-year-old point of view mm-hmm. character, it allowed me to get much sort of deeper in some ways into things like memory, into identity, into all those sort of peculiar questions that, you know, fiction is meant to tackle, but so often you don't, and this time I could.
I would agree, it's absolutely lovely. It's a lot darker as well than you initially expect. Like, it starts off quite simple, and some dark things happen early on, but they're almost, you know, the grotesque, the comic, so you're like, oh yes, this grim thing has happened. But then as you get into it, it's very much about the little inappropriatenesses of like a family dynamic, and it's just it really kind of shocks you at times. I liked that.
And thank you. It's true, there are small sad things that happen in the early part of the book, but there are some bigger things that happen that are more shocking. But the odd thing is, I don't think it's a very... It's not a bleak book, even though it's about, in a lot of ways, the powerlessness and the hopelessness of being a kid, and the fact that, you know, you cannot grow up without sacrifice. Yeah. I think it's a peculiarly optimistic book, which is, you know, you don't come out of... people have definitely sent me messages on Twitter and things saying that, they finished the book crying. But it doesn't seem to be a sad cry.
So now we've got a selection of ludicrous and slightly less ludicrous questions, which I thought I could ask you.
Let's go for it. I will do as many as we can.
First, are you a tea drinker?
I am a tea drinker. I have tea here, and I'm going to drink some now.
How do you take your tea?
Orally. Definitely through the mouth.
Always through the mouth. Yes. Any particular kind of tea?
I like just sort of regular builder's tea or green teas.
Me too.
Not get Earl Grey.
No, me either. It tastes like flowers.
Yeah, it's like, right? I don't quite get the point.
No, me
it's
either.
Like, why would I be drinking sort of weird perfumey stuff? It's wrong.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I recommend Irish tea. It's brilliant.
I love Irish breakfast tea.
So good.
It's fantastic.
So much better than any other tea in the world. What's the best book you've read lately?
Best book I read lately is oh my god, I knew this was going to happen.
Sorry.
It's by Robert Lane Greene, and it's a wonderful book on English and grammatical usage and language, and I've completely forgotten the title. I'm envisioning the cover, which shows a thumbprint and a word balloon coming out of it.
Let me Google that for you.
You can Google that for me.
I'll fill it
in. It's by Robert Lane Greene.
Okay, sounds good.
And it's just a wonderful book on how people use language.
That sounds fascinating. Are you a cat person or a dog person?
I am a both person with a house that is divided. There are signs on doors in my house that say cats on this side, dogs on that side, because they do not get along. But the kitchen and living sort of area of the house is doggy. The bedroom and corridory area of the house and the attics are catty.
That's good. Many cats?
There were many cats. I've never had more than 8 cats. but currently, I'm down for the first time in 20-something years to 1.
Wow.
Because I had 2, and my oldest cat, who was called Princess, who we knew was somewhere over 20, but we weren't quite sure how much, she was probably about 22, 23, finally died a couple of months ago.
That's
and she was grumpy and evil to the last, and I adored her. She was the best cat.
Is there anything you know to be universally true?
Yeah,
so something that's always true.
It is always true that if during the course of an interview somebody says, are you reading anything good? What's the latest really good thing that you've written? The title will fly out of your head and you will suddenly be unable to recall any books that you've ever read in your entire life.
Even your own.
Exactly.
Would you be in Hufflepuff or Ravenclaw?
I think Hufflepuff, but I could be wrong.
Never know.
It's all up to the sorting hat.
It's true, the hat decides. Someone has asked, are round objects in your books intentional or coincidence?
I think it is unwise to look too deeply at these things, but having said that, when you look at books with circular structures, finding things inside them that are circular and seem to mirror the shape of the book cannot always be regarded as a coincidence.
That's true. What's your opinion on reading in the bath?
I'm a big fan of reading in the bath. I do not recommend reading on your Kindle or your iPhone or even on your computer in the bath, when particularly if you are sleepy. On the other hand, I think it's actually absolutely okay to drop books in the bath and have them expand and become these really weird sort of things, because it is a badge of honour for a book to have been read in the bath. It did.
Do you use bookmarks or do you turn down the pages?
I'm not a purist. I do tend to use bookmarks. I almost never use the beautiful bookmarks that people give me. You know, at signings and things, people say, I've made you this beautiful bookmark, and they do, and I put them in my pocket, and they're glorious. And what I actually use is envelopes, invoices, notes that people have given me,
receipts.
Important receipts, lots of receipts,
your
important things.
Disposable, you know? Yeah. Great. So, if you could be any dinosaur, what dinosaur would you be?
I'd be a Stegosaurus.
Good shout. Do you own any clothes that aren't black?
He's
wearing black.
I do. They are running clothes.
Ah.
And the reason why I own clothes that aren't black running clothes is if I try running, I've discovered, if I go for a jog through a city wearing black running gear, I see on Twitter, oh my God, Neil Gaiman just ran past me. Whereas if I wear like a red top and yellow running shorts, nobody ever comments on
That's
it. If they do, the best they ever go is, oh, that bloke running looked a bit like Neil Gaiman.
Yeah, and
they don't think about
high
it.
High visibility, less likely to be hit by cars.
Exactly.
You know, bonus.
Plus the embarrassment factor keeps me moving fast.
Have you ever pretended to read a book just to impress somebody?
No, but I think I may have pretended to finish a couple of books just to impress people. What I've had happen more than that, though, which is worse, is find myself talking to people and slowly realizing that they are pretending to have read a book that they haven't, which is particularly bad if we're talking about something by me, and it's particularly bad if it's a journalist who is interviewing me, and I'm slowly going, you haven't read the book.
You give me a really steely stare right now.
No, you've read the book. But I've had it happen.
But do you know, like, you always know?
Sometimes, you know, and occasionally, I think only once have I ever actually challenged somebody.
Really? Have you even read this?
you know, and I got to the point of, you know, this person was a German journalist, and they were doing questions on the lines of, you know, they were saying, I think the theme of all of your work is the powerfulness of the individual. What do you think the theme of all your work is? And I said, well, the powerlessness of the individual. Yeah, good, is what I think. And and they'd start talking about stuff, and gradually I'm going, I don't think you read any of my stuff. And so I asked, and I said, so tell me, what have you read of my books? Exactly. And slowly getting it down to the fact that no, they hadn't actually read any. They just flicked through, they'd looked at some things. It was, and I felt terrible. But it was Frankfurt Book Fair, and I was punch drunk, and I was allowed.
Yeah, I think you're allowed. Do you like any sports? Apart from running.
I'd never run as a sport. The nearest I've ever done is, you know, a sort of a 5K fun run across a airport tarmac. I quite like roller derby.
Yeah, I play roller derby.
Really?
Right. I do.
That's the only sport. But you know, my friends who are roller derby ladies have told me roller derby is a sport for people who don't like sports.
It's so good.
And my old assistant Lorraine has she started doing roller derby under the name of Kishmi Deadly.
I have read her blog, and it is fabulous.
She is awesome, and currently she's dealing with a shoulder injury, so she's becoming a bench coach. Well. And but I love Derby Girls. I think they are the most wonderful, fun, smart, funny, dangerous people. And at the moment that I started to actually understand what was going on, you know, and it was no longer just a bunch of ladies zooming around a track, at the point where I'm going, okay, I know what's going on, I know what a jammer is, I know what a blocker is, I know what's actually happening, it genuinely became exciting. So
just the best thing ever when you know what's going on, isn't it?
Yeah.
The rules, like, because there's quite a lot of strategic stuff going on that people don't initially grasp, and once they do, they get really nerdy.
Exactly.
And that's my favourite.
So yeah, derby for me.
So we have to speed it up because I'm being gesticulated at. So do you judge a book by their cover, ever?
Sometimes.
Okay. When writing, do you plan first and write later, or vice versa?
Both.
Do you have a favourite rodent?
The giant rat of Sumatra.
Excellent.
Story of the of which the story is, the world is not yet ready for the story to be told.
That's sad. Legs or hot dogs?
Legs or hot dogs?
It's an internet joke.
Oh.
I recommend you look up the Tumblr. It's very funny.
I've completely missed this one.
Well, after the festival, perhaps.
After the festival.
So, any preference? Legs or hot dogs?
Given the choice, well, for walking, I definitely choose legs.
Okay.
Because I'd look ridiculous with, like, hot dogs coming out. It would just be disgusting. It would just, like, no, I can't go there.
Who's your favourite doctor?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Who is definitely my favourite doctor? Of all of the other possible doctors, who? My favourite.
Do you ever get scared you might run out of ideas?
No.
What's your favourite stop on the Underground?
Great question.
From
a sort of Neverwhere point of view, I tend to get faintly obsessed with Turnham Green.
Okay.
Because I keep wondering who gets turned green and why.
See, I didn't even know that's how you said that. And now my mind has been blown. And last question. If you could throw a book at a celebrity, which book would you throw and at whom?
I think I would probably throw one of my books very gently so that it could be caught, you know, so the hand would go up to catch it and come down at Neverwhere has already been read, so probably I would throw The Ocean at the End of the Lane at Benedict Cumberbatch.
Okay.
Gently lobbing it at him so he would grab it,
there you go,
protecting his face, and then he'd bring it down and he'd go, I like this book, I will read it.
Perfect. Well, that's all we've got time for today, but thank you so much for taking time to speak to us. It was an absolute pleasure. And the podcast on your book will be up at the end of September.
Fantastic.
So thanks very much.
That was enormous
fun.
We are shaking hands.